You're listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skull in a pool of cerebrospinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Believing is Seeing, Part 3. Or, Living in the Past. Or, A Stitch in Time would have confused the hell out of Einstein. For the last two episodes, I've been describing various aspects of how your brain and eyes work together to try to help you see what is around you in the world. Together, they comprise an amazing sensory system that helps us do incredible things as athletes and martial artists. But it is not a perfect system. When, for whatever reason, your eyes fail to gather enough information, your brain does its best to fill in the blanks. Your visual reality is not a passively received series of pictures, but instead is actively constructed, pixel by your brain, and then only after this process is finished is it shown to you. This process takes some time, which can lead to some real problems. Today I'm going to describe how your brain manipulates the relationship between vision and time to deal with these problems. But first, can you define for me what the present is? What now is? Well, of course, the answer is seemingly quite simple. The present is the precise moment that is not the past and is not the future, but is instead right now. But there's a difference between how, and more importantly, when, we humans experience the present and when the present actually happens. Your brain is constantly processing information that comes in from all of your senses. This information can come in at different rates and at different levels of quality. Your brain then processes this information and presents it to you as if it is what is happening right now. But it is actually what happened 80 milliseconds ago. That's the average amount of processing time your brain requires to put together the report, if you will, of what's going on right now and to present it to your conscious mind. That means we all live 80 milliseconds in the past. Now, you may think that 80 milliseconds, or just a little less than 1/10 of a second, is not a significant time lag, but you would be wrong. To give you a concrete example of just how long that is, here are two clicks separated by 80 milliseconds. It was easy to hear the interval between them, wasn't it? A lot of mischief can happen in that short but perceptible interval. Let's look at an example of how your brain manages the time discrepancy between perception and reality. We've all experienced the fact that the sound of thunder usually comes a little, or even sometimes more than a little, after the flash of lightning. That's because the speed of light is vastly faster than the speed of sound, which means that the photons carrying the visual input of the lightning reach your eyes well before the sound waves from the thunder reach your ears. If there is no discernible time lag between the sight of the lightning and the sound of the thunder, you should probably seek shelter because the lightning is striking extremely close to you. Another example of this is when you see someone discharge a firearm from a good distance. You will see the muzzle flash well before you hear the sound of the gunshot. This out-of-phase phenomenon between sight and sound, however, never happens within 100 feet or so. But not for the reason some of you might think, which is that at that distance the time lag is too small to notice. No, you should easily be able to discern the difference in time within as little as 50 feet, and sharp individuals should detect it even as close as 25 feet. Instead, your brain is the culprit. If you were to have someone stand 25 feet away from you and clap their hands, you would perceive no discernible time lag between sight and sound. If the person then moved to 50 feet and repeated the hand clap, there would still be no discernible time lag. but at that distance, there should be an easily discernible 20th of a second gap between the sight and the sound. How is this possible? If the clapper were to move out to 75 feet and repeat the experiment, you will still hear no discernible time lag between the sight and sound. But if you continue this process, you will finally notice a gap between the sight and sound at about 100 feet, or about 29 meters. And not a tiny gap either. Rather, an extremely noticeable gap will suddenly manifest at about 100 feet, with no ramping up from a shorter interval. We all have that sharp line at somewhere around 29 meters, where the gap between sight and sound suddenly appears. On the near side of that line, no discernible time lag. On just the other side of the line, a very discernible time lag. If you don't believe me, check it out for yourself. This phenomenon has been replicated countless times by scientists. What's going on here? I'll tell you. Your brain is withholding information from you, at least for a little bit. Inside that magic distance of about 29 meters, your brain delays allowing you to see the motion of the clap until the moment that it synchronizes with the sound of the clap. Think about that for a moment. Your brain prevents you from being confused when it synchronizes sight and sound. So why is this effect limited to within 29 meters or so? Think about it. In the pre-technological world in which our brain evolved this skill, there would have been little that happened beyond 100 feet that would require the synchronization of sight and sound. There were no firearms, no bows and arrows, to threaten us at long range. It makes sense that our brain would only spend precious processing time and energy within this short distance. What you think you see is by no means the only part of your perception of reality that is constructed by your amazing brain. It makes similar adjustments for your other senses as well. It uses information from all of them to help fill in gaps in its knowledge. Let's look at another way that your brain solves a potential problem caused by the 80 milliseconds of processing time, one that directly applies to the martial arts. If your daddy ever taught you to duck hunt, he explained to you that you don't aim directly at a flying duck, unless it's very close, or flying directly towards you, or directly away. If you were to make this mistake, your spread of birdshot would pass harmlessly behind the duck. This is because in the brief interval of time it takes those pellets to fly to the intended target, the target will have moved a bit. Thus, your dad taught you to aim ahead of the duck, or to lead it. This is not intuitive. It must be taught. The rounds that come out of firearms travel so fast, we tend to think of them as instantaneously striking the target when we pull the trigger. But there is a brief time lag that you must learn to factor in to become a proficient duck hunter. Guess what? Your brain does the same thing for you in slower situations without you consciously realizing it. Let's say you're trying to catch a frisbee. The 80 millisecond time lag required for your brain to process visual information should make it impossible for you to catch an object moving at that speed. So how come it's so easy for us? Now, the fastest recorded speed for a frisbee is about 90 miles an hour. To be cautious, let's say the frisbee you're attempting to catch is only going at half that speed, 45 miles an hour. How far do you think the frisbee going at that speed travels in 80 milliseconds? Did you guess fractions of an inch, fractions of a foot, or a yard? In the 80 milliseconds it took your brain to process visual information, that disc, traveling at 45 miles per hour, traveled about 5 feet. Your visual image of the disc should be 5 feet away from its actual location. Because of this, it should always be the case that you mistime your grab for the flying disc, but experience tells you that you don't. That's where your brain comes to the rescue. This organ, the most complex structure in the known universe, now does something amazing. It compensates for the time lag by using the previous image and motion of the disc to predict where it will be in 80 milliseconds and shows you the image of the disc there. Yes, your brain shows you the future, or at least what it guesses will be the future when you're tracking a moving object. So when you see an object moving through your environment, it's not really there. But it probably will be very soon if your brain is guessing correctly. By the way, this is not because you are consciously leading the frisbee the way your father taught you to lead the duck. You're not aware of this phenomenon, or at least for most of you, you weren't before listening to this podcast. Your amazing brain, at a subconscious level, shows you where it thinks the frisbee will be at precisely the moment that your hand reaches it. Your brain shows you something that is not there. Yet. That means that when you're hunting ducks, you are making two compensations. You are consciously compensating for the travel time of your bird shot. Based on visual information that your brain has subconsciously altered to compensate for its processing time. That's a twofer. For those of you who practice the martial arts, you should now realize that your brain is doing this all the time. Whether the moving object is your opponent's hand, leg, head, or body, your brain makes its best guess as to where it will be when you need to strike, evade, block, or deflect. As I've mentioned many times in this podcast miniseries about vision, you can't always believe what you think you see. But in the case of this particular ability, it pays to ignore the fact that you're seeing something that isn't really there. That concludes this episode of the podcast. Next time, I'll discuss yet more ways that your picture of reality is not all that you think it may be. Anyway, that's what I think. But I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, or check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or the Rising Phoenix Academy at our website, rpmartialarts.com.